It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Today is Wednesday, April 17th, 2024. I'm Brooke Schaefer with Raven News. A new nonprofit has been established in Craig aimed at helping young people in the community reclaim Haida language and culture. HEAL, which stands for Haida Ethnology and Advancing Language, announced its formation last month with the mission of empowering and nurturing the local Haida community and heritage. Rob Yates is a founding board member of HEAL and a Haida language teacher.
We are learning our indigenous languages.
Yates is certified with the Sea Alaska Heritage Institute's Our Language Pathway Program and also teaches through the Central Council of Tlingit and Haida. He considers himself somewhere between intermediate and advanced, but not fluent.
It's so important to speak the language on the land because our ancestors spoke it on the land and our ancestors came to hear us. They also help us and guide us. So it's really important to bring it back and normalize it. We don't want it thought of as a foreign language because it's not foreign. It comes from here.
The organization plans to offer workshops, classes, and resources to Haida community members and their families. Yates said that the land that Craig occupies used to house three Haida villages. The last fluent elder in Craig passed away in 1983.
There isn't this type of nonprofit here in Craig, and we're desperately low on Haida language teachers and speakers, and we want to change that. We want to normalize the language, and we need to raise more speakers, but even more importantly, more teachers. If we don't raise up more teachers, then we're going to be in a serious amount of hurt as far as saving the language goes.
Yates says the organization is grassroots, and the goal right now is to raise community support, as well as find fun and engaging ways to get people interested in the language. HEAL hopes to hold its first workshop on the first Saturday of June at the Craig Tribal Hall. High school students from all over Southeast Alaska will be in Petersburg this week for Region 5 Art Fest. The annual festival was started in the late 90s by art teachers from Petersburg and Wrangell. KFSK's Hannah Floor sat down with Petersburg art teacher Ashley Lohr to talk about the event.
We're back on track. We're going to be looking at a nice, robust program that Lisa Schrammick Adams has put together, pulling in schools from all over Southeast. It's always, an event where the high school art students take two workshops, focus workshops, meaning like they have 14 to 15 hours of time in that workshop. So it's a total of about 30 hours of focus. Oh. So it's really a fantastic skill building, networking, and pumping out a really time-consuming project in a way.
So each art student is taking only two workshops. And
only
each
two workshop.
Workshop is 15 hours long.
Yes. So they're broken up into three-hour chunks, though. So, but that's a lot. Like
that
on a full
lot.
Day, that's, 3 hours in the morning, 3 hours in the afternoon, 3 hours at night, starting at 9 a.m., ending at 9 p.m.
It seems like it would be so hard to decide what workshops to take. Have you had to help students decide what to focus on?
You're going to get something out of every single workshop. So the way we look at it is, you're going to take a paper mache class, but you really wanted like a ceramic wheel throwing, pottery class. You're going to get some skill in there somewhere and you're going to take that on. I always encourage kids to sign up for classes that's something that they don't get from our school. They're not getting from my teaching. I don't do carving. Take a carving class. I don't do silk dyeing. Take a silk dyeing class. Something where they're going to walk away with some knowledge and some skill that they can't gain from me because I'm not knowledgeable in that area.
Mm-hmm. Who gets to go to Art Fest?
So I really kind of zone in on my top art students and then my art students that I have in my classroom. I open it up for them to sign up. And then I kind of think outside of my classroom, like who's not taking a class with me that I think would take a lot away from going to Art Fest.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, kids are going to get art skill out of this. What else do they get besides some new skills?
I enjoy seeing the peer-to-peer interaction. You're meeting other art students from other schools and connecting with them. And there's some art students over the years that I think feel, everyone's unique, obviously, but an art student has these passions. And when they have these specific kinds of passions in the art room and you connect with other kids that have, you know, that can parallel with you on that kind of level, it's really neat to see how they team up and spend, you know, the outside of class time together or during class. They just kind of, so the peer-to-peer connections that are happening, but also the artists, like the teachers that are there teaching, you know, that kind of one-on-one time in the workshop, or like that admiration that's developed, you know, that continues, and you're going to, that teacher's name or that artist's name will stay, you know, in your mind, and then you might connect later on. I've had stories about how kids have just taken one workshop at Art Fest and then went to get their master's in it, you know, and they didn't have that in their school, but then they got so passionate about it from just the skill building in art at Art Fest, and they've taken it to like the furthest level you can take it to. So it's really neat to see when they return home, they have their artwork that they come home with. And then the fun thing is, I'd like to invite everybody Sunday night at the high school gym. There'll be a big show off of all the work that's been made in the Art Fest 2024. Also, there'll be silent auction, pieces from all different artists locally, but regionally will be on available to bid on. And then there'll be a table with students that are coming to town, their artwork brought to Art Fest. So you'll get to see kind of their best piece that they've done in the classroom back at home. They bring it to Art Fest to show that off too. And that's at 6:30 to 8 in the high school gym.
On Sunday night.
On Sunday night, yeah.
So you really get a good idea of what students
and adults
are doing in their
region. You get to, like, it's like putting a piece of sour candy in your mouth. You're just like, whoa, what? This is amazing. It's like all what has been made in the past 4 days in each workshop.
That was art teacher Ashley Lohr talking with KFSK's Hannah Flohr about Art Fest, which starts tomorrow in Petersburg. Governor Mike Dunleavy is defending the state's correspondence school program. That's after a Superior Court judge declared cash payments to Alaska homeschool parents for educational expenses unconstitutional. The state's homeschool allotment program reimburses parents up to $4,500 per year for curriculum, activities, and even private school classes. The ruling found that the practice violates a section of the Alaska Constitution that prohibits the use of public money to directly benefit a religious or private school. The state plans to appeal. On Talk of Alaska on Tuesday, Dunleavy focused the argument on the direct benefit portion of the constitutional language.
Our argument is that it's an indirect benefit to the institution. It's not a direct benefit to the institution. And so what we're talking about here is public school students trying to get a public outcome, a public educational outcome, by using a whole host of different vendors, both private and religious.
But lawmakers disagree, saying the allotments in their current form do violate the Constitution. Here's Anchorage Democratic Senator Bill Willikowski.
That's not how I interpret that. I think it's pretty clearly a direct benefit. There was a lot of discussion about what direct and indirect benefits were during the Constitutional Convention, and I don't think that was what their intent was.
In the House, lawmakers said they wanted to wait for the court case to proceed before considering a legislative fix. House Education Committee co-chair Representative Jamie Allard, a Republican from Eagle River, suggested amending the Constitution to allow for spending on private and religious schools.
Would I be open to saying, okay, that the dollars can follow the child and be used in a faith-based school, but maybe not pay for that Bible study class? I think that's a good compromise.
House Education Committee co-chair Representative Justin Ruffridge, a Soldotna Republican, said a constitutional amendment would be a worthwhile discussion, but said the proposal faces long odds in a closely divided House. Senate President Gary Stevens, a Kodiak Republican, said he would not support amending the Constitution. I'm Brooke Schaefer, and this has been Raven News. And now taking a quick look at the weather for Sitka for today, Wednesday, April 17th, 2024. Today is sunny with a high near 54, east winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 39, east winds 5 to 15 miles per hour. You're tuned in to your community radio station, Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Good morning.